Let's bring in Elliot Friedman into the conversation, a presentation of Grip Auto and Tire. Elliot, thanks for joining the show. How are you today?
You guys finally overthrew Dan, eh?
We had to do it.
Yeah. We finally got him out. Yeah.
Addition by subtraction. I get it.
He's probably listening right now, which makes it even better, Elliot.
No doubt.
Good with that.
But what about this Winnipeg Jets team? We'll get to the Habs in a second, but where do the Jets go from here after, you know, the Scheifele situation? This is a team that already traded for Dubois. Like, where do they go from here?
You know, I think it's a really good question. I mean, they have a lot of really talented forwards. They've got a Vezina caliber goaltender. I got to think they're going to go look at that blue line and figure out what it's going to take. You know, the one thing that just kind of shocked me was, you know, Montreal's got an identity right now. They kind of remind me a little bit of the Islanders, that they have a way that they play, and they've bought into that, and they play it, and they stick to it, and they're getting more and more confident with it because they see the results. You know, the Islanders have an identity, and they stick to it, and the Canadians have gained an identity, and they stick to it. You know, Winnipeg, I'm surprised at how much they got lost after Scheifele's suspension. Now, I realize that Stastny got hurt and DeMello got hurt. And, yes, all of those things can affect a team. But they just seem to lose themselves. I felt they got rattled. And while the Canadians got stronger and believed in what they were doing, the Jets just seemed to lose their faith and got disorganized. And, you know, I'm sure some of it is going to have to be, okay, why did that happen? And why did we deal with that? Why was Dubois not himself? Why was Connor not himself? But from a pure roster point of view, I look at that blue line, I just wonder, how are you going to deepen it? How are you going to strengthen it? And I bet you that's going to be one of their questions.
One of the bigger questions, and you kind of referenced it there, Elliot, was Pierre-Luc Dubois, which is there was a lot of hot takes, and I'm not going to lie, I was a part of it as well when the Lion and Dubois deal happened, but this is a player that just couldn't find his footing with this team. It felt like he was kind of uncomfortable or maybe even injured in the playoffs here. It just was a very weird season for Dubois.
You look at that trade, right, and it didn't work out for Dubois in the short term. It didn't work out for Laine in the short term, and I'm very curious to see what Columbus is going to do here. You know, the guy who this year was the best was Roslovic. Like, he looked like he was really happy to go to Columbus, where he obviously has an attachment to, and they seem pretty clearly happy to have him. I just obviously don't think it worked, you know, for those other two guys. You know, the Dubois thing, it's weird. I've said a couple times now, I had one of the Blue Jackets I was talking to, and they were like, is he hurt? Because they couldn't understand why he played like that. And they thought he was really off. And obviously he was. So, I mean, Randy, we're going to find out if he's injured. That's number one. But number two, you're right. And, you know, I'm trying to have some understanding for this year, because it's such a super screwed up season between, you know, the schedule and COVID and everything. But when you're paying a guy big money and you're depending on a guy, it's very difficult to hear that. So I'm very curious what the explanations are for why Dubois was this way this year and why he played like that. Because if you're Winnipeg, you bet on him. And you're thinking he's going to be happy to be there because his father's there, and you're kind of betting on all this. I agree. But Connor, too, he clearly wasn't himself. I'm really curious to see where a lot of these Jets postmortems are going to go.
And it's going to be fascinating looking across the National Hockey League, because right now we have the big names we talk about, right, especially with Seth Jones being out there. But
yep.
Do you think we're going to hear about more players that are in that situation who are a year or two away from free agency that are maybe indicating that they may want to change a scenery? Do you think we'll hear more big names come out in that sense?
sad. I don't even think it's going to be guys who are a year or two away. I think it's going to be guys in the middle of deals. I think you're going to hear a lot of wild names thrown around this offseason from, you know, we know about Jones. I think some of the Philly guys, and it's not only about players saying that, it's about teams saying it. Like, I think Philly is going to consider some interesting stuff. I think St. Louis is going to consider some interesting stuff. Like, I've heard Tarasenko's name out there. You know, I think there's a lot of people out there. I think there's going to be a lot of names out there. I think this is going to be a summer where the cap is tight, but Seattle's there, and I think you're going to – I think there's going to be some names out there that surprise people. And the other thing, too, is some of the people who lost in the first round, they haven't even finished doing their debriefs yet. And as you lose in the playoffs and you begin to breathe and figure out what went wrong, I think other names are going to start to come out there. So between Philly and St. Louis and – you know, some of the teams that missed the playoffs, what's Seattle willing to do? You know, how's Tampa going to get under the cap next year? I think you're going to hear some pretty wild stuff out there.
All right, Elliot, before we get back to hockey, we need to know who you honked at right now.
That wasn't me. That was the guy. Like, I'm a very aggressive driver, and I was in advanced green, and the person in front, like two or three cars in front of me, was a little slow in getting going. And Randeep, it was the guy behind me who honked. But they were not wrong that the person at the front of this line was not exactly Ben Johnson circa 1988 of getting out of the block.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Okay. Getting back to hockey, though, there's one name that is really intriguing this offseason. You mentioned the Vince Dunn report. I know you and CJ both talked about that on the weekend. But Colton Parayko, is that a name that we should be watching?
I don't know. Like, I will tell you this. I've had people talk to me about next summer about, you know, Jones and Parayko as it stands right now being UFAs. And I think there are some teams that are looking at that. You know, I'll tell you, like, St. Louis, they let Petrangelo go. You know, I know they brought in Krug, but can you let Parayko go for nothing? Mm-hmm. I know that at times he's been up and down, but when they were at their best, he was such a huge part of that team. I don't know. Obviously this is something I'm going to have to start looking into, but I would be a little bit surprised. But you know what, Randy? Like, I will tell you that there are people who said to me, forget about this summer's free agents. Look at next year's class and what's available. And they mentioned to me about Parayko being one of the names for sure.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, if they can sign Parayko and the flat cap puts all, you know, teams in a bind for a bit, I mean, this is a situation where we might see a lot of quality defensemen available via trade, whether it's Parayko, you know, we have Seth Jones perhaps. I mean, could teams that always have a hard time finding big-name blue liners maybe use this year to their advantage to make those deals?
Well, I think there's going to be teams to try. Like, I believe that's one of Anaheim's strategies, for example. I know the Ducks look at it like we have cap space or we have some flexibility and who can we take advantage of? I think that's definitely going on out there. I think there's others who are like that too. There's no question about it. I think LA is looking at that this summer. You know, they have cap space. They have young prospects and picks. You know, what can they do to take advantage of that? Absolutely, guys. You're going to see some teams really go for that, no question.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Elliot Friedman, as we are every week. And one more name I wanted to kind of throw by you because it's kind of in the same boat this year. Travis Konecny did not have a great year with the Philadelphia Flyers, but I know you've mentioned, you know, how much do you read into this year because it's such an anomaly, outlier of a season. Do you, you know, take those bad efforts or good efforts for that matter, and how much do you invest into them? Is that a player that, you know, his sample size up until this year was pretty good? How do we read that situation?
I think Philly is going to consider a lot of things. I think Philly's got a lot of balls in the air, and they just have to decide what they want to do. Like, I think Farabee is pretty much untouchable for them, and after that, I don't know how many of those guys are untouchable. I mean, I assume Hart would be. But I think Philly's going to consider a lot of things. Like, I think there's a lot of teams out there. What they do, guys, is they kind of throw everybody out there and say, okay, let's see what the value is or what people are interested in, and then they pull guys back. Philly is in that zone to me. Like, they're throwing a lot of names out there and saying, okay, what's the market? What's the interest? I don't think they have any interest in moving Farabee. Other than that, I could see Philly be willing to do a lot of things.
Elliot Friedman is our guest here on the People Show on Sportsnet 650. And Elliot, in Vancouver, maybe the Canucks need to announce something just so people stop talking about Tyler Toffoli, who yet again was the hero for the Montreal Canadiens. I know people in this market have a hard time letting things go, and the Toffoli thing, well, that's not going anywhere. But do you think anything is close here in Vancouver for any sort of announcement, whether it is the Sedins, contracts for Ian Clark and the coaches, or perhaps, you know, extending Pettersson and Hughes? Do you think anything is close to being done here when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks?
Oh boy. Obviously you guys, and not you guys, because, you know, last I could tell, you guys didn't work for the team. obviously the Canucks have some grand plan here to try to announce a bunch of things together, right? You know, for example, when I was looking into the fact that Benning was coming back, one of the things that I was told was, well, there's no confirmation or denial because we want to do everything together. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, we figured out that Benning was coming back. But that kind of fits with everything else that's going on here, right? So it's obvious, look, they're far down the road with the Sedins, and it's obvious that it sounds like something's going to happen. We just don't have an exact situation yet. I think they're very interested in Bradshaw, who's a really highly respected assistant coach. I think that would be a really good signing for you guys, but nobody's confirming anything, so we don't know exactly what that is yet. You know, I think you guys have really worked at Pettersson-Hughes extensions. I've heard varying disagreements about how close they are or aren't, but I believe you guys have done at least a significant degree of legwork on those, even if they're not done. I think you guys are doing a lot of work. I mean, there's no real other way for me to say that. I think you guys are doing a lot of work. I just don't know when you plan on announcing all this stuff.
Elliot, we saw Canada win at the World Championships as well, and there's a, you know, from a player perspective, a coaching perspective, and an executive level, that win meant something to a lot of the guys, but especially for their careers. And the one that I'm looking at is Roberto Luongo. What do you think that win will mean for him and his role as an executive going forward here?
You know, I think what it, the thing that stands out for that group is that, first of all, they had every excuse to lose. They were a group that clearly emboldened their players, right? And I think in this day and age that it's really hard to – the most important thing a coach or an executive can do is to make their players feel emboldened. You have to challenge them sometimes, but at the end of the day, you have to make them confident in themselves to win. And that's what they did there. You know – I think it's hard sometimes to, I think it's really hard sometimes to say what that kind of win means for a GM, because it's not really comparable to an NHL GM job. Like, I look more at what Luongo was doing in Florida as relevant than this. I think it's an incredible victory, and I think he deserves, along with everyone else there, to take a bow for it. But I think at the end of the day, people are going to look at more about what he's doing in Florida, learning the business, putting in the work, things like that, before they're to judge if he's ready for this kind of thing. Like I look at Steve Yzerman, he took no shortcuts. He learned the business. He did the work. He cut no corners. He did those long scouting trips. He did everything that you need to do to learn the business from the bottom up. And Luongo is showing a willingness to do that. And I think at the end of the day, that more than anything else will determine his readiness. You know, I said it on the podcast this week, and I'll say it again now, guys. The biggest question for me about Luongo is, you know, you can't really be a dad while you're doing that job. You know, he's got a young family. It's important to him, which is very important. Being a father is one of the most important jobs any male can ever have. But this is a lot of work, and you have to really commit to it. And there's not a lot of time for – you have to sacrifice a lot of things about being a parent to be a good general manager. And I think at the end of the day, that's going to be Luongo's biggest question. I have no doubt he can do the job. I think he's wired the right way. I think he's going about it the right way. At the end of the day, he's going to have to decide if he wants to make that time commitment.
We're in conversation with Elliot Friedman on The People's Show. And I think it's really fascinating looking at what Steve Yzerman did, looking at Luongo, and with the Sedins, who have yet to join the organization, but our understanding, we talked about this last week, is they're really trying to figure out what the right role is. And I can totally see what they would like to do is everything you outlined that Luongo was trying to do. I think they're kind of looking at a situation where they want to learn everything, just like those guys you mentioned, Yzerman and Luongo.
I think that's totally true. I think that, you know, I heard that was a very important key. Like, these were not going to be ceremonial positions. They wanted to have a sense of responsibility, and they wanted to be involved. Like, these guys are not interested in taking shortcuts. Now, at this point in time, I don't know if they're convinced they want to be full-time GMs, but I do think they want – I just think that people are wired a certain way. And I think if you want to do a job properly, you can't half-ass it, guys. Like, you guys want to be good radio hosts. I see the work you put in. You can't half-ass it. And I think that's kind of the way the Sedins look at it. If you're in, you're in. And that's what they want to know that they want to make informed decisions. If the Canucks are going to be depending on their influence or depending on their opinion, they want to be able to make informed opinions. Like, I find it hard to believe at this point in time that they really don't know what they're going to be doing and the organization doesn't know what they're going to be doing. I guess it's just arranging everything or announcing everything at the same time. I guess the mystery will all be sorted out when they finally announce everything.
Well, and I guess the other question, the final one on that situation is, they're going to be announcing additions. Are there going to be any subtractions announced?
As far as I know, no. As far as I know, no. Like, when I was, like everybody else out there, chasing the assistant coach addition, like, I was, you know, when I was chasing it, people were like, just be careful what you say, because, you know, one in doesn't necessarily mean one out. So my honest answer is, I don't know. I don't have a clear picture of that yet. At this point in time, I know of none. And I wouldn't guess until I knew for sure.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Elliot Friedman. You can catch the 31 Thoughts podcast weekly and, of course, the 31 Thoughts column on sportsnet.ca. Elliot, before we let you go, you have got a rival when it comes to the best suit game in hockey right now. Marc Bergevin is coming for your crown. Do you have a red suit that you can maybe do a who wore it better coming up on the show here? I'm giving you social media ideas here. We want to see the red suit.
You know, I got to tell you, Randy, if Marc Bergevin heard you say that I have a better suit game than he does, he might punch you in the face.
Wouldn't be the first time he'd probably want to do that if
he
heard some of the things.
Did you see him yesterday in shorts and flip-flops go onto the ice? Did you see that shot?
Yeah, he's got versatility. I'll give him that.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, like, put it this way. When you're in the Final Four as a general manager, your suit game immediately elevates just by results. So I would put him over me. I will say this. I think my hair looks better than his does.
Okay, there we go. I was going to
say. Guys who need haircuts, I'll take my hair over his.
Just because it's bigger, is that why?
Hey, you know what? I had 40 good years, Sat. Like, I'll take it.
No doubt. Elliot, always a pleasure, my friend. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to chatting with you again and listening to you on the 31 Thoughts podcast and watching you on Hockey Night in Canada.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great week.